Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us.
Yes.
Today, we're going to be tackling James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26.
Okay.
And this is a passage that has caused a lot of debate over the centuries. Right. So it's a really meaty one.
It is, yeah.
And we're going to be looking specifically at this question of faith and works.
Okay.
And are they really separate?
Yeah.
You know, can you have one without the other?
Right.
James seems to be saying no.
Yes, it does.
So let's jump right into it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really interesting because James doesn't pull any punches here.
Right.
He really kind of goes for the jugular, and it's like he's anticipating pushback from people who are saying, hey, look, I believe.
That's enough.
Yeah. And he's like, no, it's not enough.
Yeah. No, you have to show it.
Yeah.
You know, your faith by your actions.
And the way he does that is so interesting.
It is. Yeah, it's a very, very kind of dynamic way of writing.
Yeah.
It's not just kind of laying down.
It's not a lecture. Yeah. It's more like a dialogue.
Back and forth.
A back and forth. Yeah. And in fact.
Almost like a rap battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a theological.
A theological rap battle.
Yeah, exactly right.
And so this style of writing actually has a name.
Okay.
It's called diatribe.
Diatribe. Okay.
And it was common in ancient philosophical and rhetorical writing.
So this was like a no.
Yeah, like a technique.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that helps to kind of
it's helpful
understand the way he's going about this.
Yeah. So it's not just a straight sermon.
No.
It's
an engagement.
It's more engaging.
With an imaginary kind of opponent sometimes.
Okay. So like he's anticipating what people are going to say.
Yes.
Got it.
And he's kind of.
And pulling it out of them.
Yeah. And then kind of knocking it down.
Okay, cool.
So you see that right away in verse 14.
Okay.
He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?
Right there.
That word says.
Yeah, that word says is really important.
Okay, why is that?
Because it implies that their faith might not be genuine at all.
Oh, so it's almost like they're claiming to have something they may not.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, saying you're rich but you have no money.
Okay. I got it.
So, and then he uses this really interesting word.
Okay.
Profit.
Okay.
What is it? Profit?
What is it? Profit, right?
So it's like he's bringing in this economic language.
Right.
This idea of tangible returns.
Okay. So it's almost like he's saying true faith should produce something.
Exactly.
Like it should have a.
It should have a yield.
Yeah. Yeah. Result.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not just an internal feeling or a mental assent.
Okay. So it's not enough to have the right ideas.
Right.
You have to.
You have to live it out.
Okay.
You have to show it.
And then to illustrate this point.
Yes.
He gives this really powerful example that I think a lot of people can relate to even today. You know, he talks about telling someone who's struggling, go in peace, be warmed and filled. But not actually doing anything to help them.
Right. And that's kind of the...
It's empty words, right?
Empty words. Yeah.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy of that.
I think you see this a lot on social media today.
Absolutely.
Where people are offering thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, yeah.
But not actually...
Well, not actually doing anything tangible.
Yeah, right?
So it's that same kind of idea.
Empty faith in a nutshell.
Yeah. And there's this detail in that example.
Okay.
That adds a whole other layer of meaning.
Okay.
The Greek word that James uses for ill-clad actually means naked.
Oh, wow.
So it's not just about lacking clothes.
It's about the vulnerability.
Yeah, the vulnerability, the shame, the social stigma.
Oh, so it's even more.
Yeah, it's even more pointed.
Yeah, and that connects it back to Jesus's teachings about clothing the naked and
absolutely
feeding the hungry.
Yeah, and caring for the poor and needy.
So he's connecting.
Yeah, he's weaving together.
Yeah.
This idea of personal faith with a call to social justice.
Okay, so it's not just this internal.
Yeah, it has outward.
Yeah, outward ramifications.
Ramifications, exactly. And then he goes on to say that this kind of empty faith is dead.
Okay, so it's not just.
Yeah, it's not just inactive.
Inactive.
It's incapable of producing anything good.
Yeah, so it's like a seed that's not going to sprout.
It's a seed that never sprouts.
Or, that's run dry.
Well, that's run dry, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he anticipates an objection.
Okay.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
He says, you have faith and I have works.
Okay, so almost like you could separate these two things.
Yeah, like some people are the faith people and some people are the works people.
Oh, like dividing up spiritual chores.
Yeah, exactly. Like a division of labor.
I got it.
Right. And this is where we have to remember that James might be responding Okay. To some people who are misunderstanding Paul's teaching on justification by faith.
Okay, so some people might have taken Paul to mean right. that works don't matter at all.
Exactly.
Got it.
And James is kind of like, hold on a second.
Not so fast.
Yeah, that's not the whole picture.
Okay.
Right.
But that statement by the objector.
Yes.
You have faith and I have works.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is a little bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, why wouldn't they say?
Yeah, you would think they would say,
you have works and I have faith.
Right. You have works and I have faith, given the whole debate.
Given the context, right?
Exactly.
So what's going on there?
So that's where some scholars think that James is actually hinting at something even more profound.
Okay.
By flipping the script like that.
Okay.
He might be suggesting that it's impossible to have true works.
Okay.
Without faith either.
Oh, so it's not just that faith without works is dead, but also...
It's a two-way street.
Works without faith are...
We're also missing. Yeah. Missing something.
Missing something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he drives this point home with a challenge.
Okay.
He says, show me your faith apart from your works.
Oh, wow.
Right. Like he's demanding evidence in a courtroom.
So it can't just be this internal...
It has to be...
Feeling.
It has to be...
Demonstrable.
Okay.
It has to manifest in some way.
Exactly. And I'll get ready for this.
Okay.
To make his point, he brings in a really unexpected example.
Okay, I'm ready.
Demons.
Demons?
Yeah.
Okay.
He says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder.
He brought in demons.
He brought him demons.
Right.
He's so...
Like, so unexpected.
Yes, and to use that to illustrate...
Yeah.
The point is just...
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, by bringing in demons, James shows that even evil beings...
Uh-huh.
Understand that action is necessary.
Okay.
They believe in God.
Okay.
But they know it won't save them because they haven't changed their ways.
So they're not living it out.
They're not living it out exactly.
Okay. So even demonic forces get that connection.
Get the connection.
Okay.
Between belief and action.
Okay.
And there's another layer here.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, there's another layer here that's often missed.
Okay.
The demon's belief actually leads them to shudder.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So they understand the consequences of their inaction.
Wow. So they're...
Which might imply...
They believe and they're terrified.
Yeah, they're terrified.
Wow.
They're like, we believe and we're scared because we know what's coming.
And they're not changing.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
And this contrast really highlights the seriousness of James's argument.
Yeah.
He's raising the stakes.
Uh-huh.
He's urging his readers to move beyond mere intellectual assent to a faith.
That's lived out.
That's lived out.
Yeah.
In tangible ways.
Not just head knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to put it into practice.
You got to put it into practice.
Okay.
And all of this points to a deeper theological idea.
Okay.
James is arguing that the Christian life should reflect God's own unified nature.
Okay.
Since God is one, faith and works
cannot
be truly separated.
So our lives should be a reflection
of that wholeness.
Yeah, that unity.
That unity, exactly.
Okay.
And to really hammer this home, James digs into the Old Testament, and he brings up some big names.
Okay, let's hear it. Who does he call to the witness stand?
He brings up Abraham and Rahab.
Okay.
These are
two giants
of the faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Big hitters.
Big hitters. And he uses them to show that faith and works have always been intertwined.
So he's going back to the roots.
He's going back to the roots.
This isn't some newfangled idea.
Exactly.
It's been there all along.
It's always been there. And he starts with Abraham offering Isaac.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the ultimate act of obedience.
The ultimate act of obedience.
Yeah.
And he presents this as the ultimate proof of Abraham's faith.
Okay.
It wasn't just agreeing with God in his mind.
Uh-huh.
It was a willingness to act. Even when it was incredibly difficult.
Yeah, heart-wrenching.
Heart-wrenching, yeah.
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 And he even says that Abraham was justified by works.
Yeah.
When he offered Isaac.
This is where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah, that's a little bold.
It's a little bold.
Yeah.
But, again, we have to remember the context.
Okay.
James might be responding to those who misunderstood Paul.
Right.
And thought that works didn't matter at all.
Okay.
But James is showing that true faith will inevitably produce good works.
Okay.
It's not one or the other.
Okay, so it's both and.
Yeah, it's both and.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
So in Abraham's case, his willingness to obey God, even in such a difficult situation, demonstrated the genuineness of his faith.
Okay.
It was proof.
So like saying, okay, you say you believe.
Yeah.
But are you willing to
put your money where your mouth is?
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, okay, got it.
And then he brings in Rahab.
Okay.
Who hid the Israelite spies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And this act of courage.
Yeah.
Driven by her belief in the God of Israel.
Okay.
Is presented as another example of faith in action.
And she wasn't even an Israelite.
That's right.
Right.
She was a Canaanite woman.
Yeah. So this shows that it's not just limited to
exactly.
a certain group.
Yeah. It's a universal principle. It's not limited to a specific group or time period.
This connection between
exactly
faith and works.
Faith and works. Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting to see the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
So James is saying that genuine faith has always been characterized by action.
Yes.
It's not just something you...
Yeah, it's not some passive thing you just think about.
Yeah, on Sundays?
On Sundays, exactly.
Okay.
And this leads to a key takeaway.
Okay.
James is emphasizing that true faith isn't static.
Okay.
It's not just about believing a set of facts about God.
Mm-hmm.
It's about allowing those beliefs to shape...
Our actions.
Our actions.
Okay.
Our relationships.
Yeah.
How we engage with the world around us.
It's about taking your faith off the shelf and putting it to work.
Putting it to work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this message is as relevant today as it was back then.
For sure.
It's a call to examine our own lives.
Yeah. Are we just talking the talk?
Are we just talking the talk?
Or are we walking the walk?
Or are we walking the walk?
Are our actions, are
her actions
aligning with?
Yeah. Aligning with our beliefs.
Our beliefs, exactly.
It's a question we all need to wrestle with.
We do?
Yeah. Where do we see this connection between faith and works playing out?
Yeah, that's a good question. In our own lives. And also, if James is responding to a misunderstanding of Paul, how can we better understand?
Yes, that's a crucial question.
What Paul actually taught about faith and works.
Yeah, it invites us to go deeper into the scriptures.
Okay.
To consider different perspectives and contexts.
Yeah, and James is often seen as this tough, no-nonsense kind of guy.
No-nonsense, cut the crap kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also an element of grace.
Yeah, woven through.
Woven through his message.
Right. It's not about earning our salvation by racking up, good deed points.
Yeah, that would be exhausting.
It's exhausting, yeah.
And honestly, kind of missing the point.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Sure. Our work should be a natural response.
Yeah.
To God's grace.
Okay.
A way of expressing our gratitude.
Okay.
For what he's already done for us.
So it's not about striving to be perfect.
It's not about striving.
It's about responding.
It's about responding.
To the love that we've...
Yeah. To the love we've already been given.
Already been given.
Exactly.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Because it takes the pressure off.
It does.
That allows us to...
Yeah. It allows us to approach our faith journey.
Uh-huh.
With more humility and grace.
So it's not about
checking
off boxes.
It's not about checking off boxes.
No, though.
It's about allowing our faith to transform our hearts.
Yeah.
And as a result, our actions.
Life actions.
Right? It's the overflow of what's happening on the inside.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
And this transformation is a lifelong
Lifelong process.
Yeah.
It's not something we achieve overnight.
And we're going to mess up along the way.
We are.
Yeah, we're going to fall short.
Yeah, we're going to stumble.
But that's
where grace comes in.
Grace comes in.
God's love and forgiveness.
Right.
Give us the freedom to keep trying.
Okay.
To keep growing.
So it's like that saying, fall 7 times, stand up 8.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And when we do fall,
we
can rely on each other for support.
So this is where community is important.
This is why community is so important.
Okay.
We need people who can encourage us.
Yeah.
Challenge us.
Yeah.
And remind us of God's love and grace.
Hold each other accountable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
We can help each other.
We need each other.
Yeah. We need each other.
Yeah.
To stay accountable.
Yeah.
Challenge each other to grow.
Uh-huh.
And celebrate each other's victory.
Yeah. And we can accomplish so much more together.
Absolutely.
Than we can on our own.
Yes.
Right?
We're better together.
So to bring this back to James.
Okay.
What are some practical takeaways our listeners can apply?
Well, I think first,
it's
a call to be honest with ourselves.
Okay.
About the state of our own faith.
Mm-hmm.
Are we living in a way that aligns with our beliefs?
Yeah.
Are we actively seeking opportunities to put our faith into practice?
So it's about moving beyond passive belief.
Yeah, moving beyond passive belief.
And into active engagement.
Active engagement with our faith.
Yeah, it's about making it real.
Yeah, making it real.
In our everyday lives.
In our everyday lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not just about...
Yeah, it's not just about having the right ideas in your head.
It's about...
Living them out.
Live them out.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to embody them.
Okay.
And James gives some really practical examples of what this looks like.
Okay.
You know, it's not always about doing these big heroic deeds.
Okay.
It's about the everyday stuff.
Okay.
And it's about how we treat people,
mm-hmm.
how we use our resources,
okay.
how we respond to those in need.
So it's about finding those
yeah.
little everyday opportunities.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about the small acts of kindness.
Okay.
The words of encouragement, generosity.
Okay.
That we show to others.
So it's about being intentional.
Yeah.
About asking ourselves, how can I reflect God's love in this situation?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Making our faith a verb.
Ooh. I like that.
Not just a noun.
Yeah. Faith in action.
Faith in action. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, this whole conversation has really challenged me to think about the profit of my own faith.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What tangible difference is it making?
Okay.
In my life and in the lives of others.
It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life.
It is.
And we get to.
Yeah. And just go through the motions.
Yeah.
Without really thinking about the why behind what we're doing.
Yeah. And connecting our actions back to our beliefs.
Connecting it back to the source.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, it's not about being perfect.
Okay.
It's about progress.
Yeah. We're all on a journey.
We are.
And we're going to.
We're going to make mistakes. Yeah. Stumble. Along the way.
We're going to stumble.
But that's where
grace comes in.
Grace comes in.
God's love and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Give us the freedom to keep trying, to keep growing.
And to keep getting back up.
Yes. Fall 7 times, stand up 8.
Fall 7 times, stand up 8.
Exactly.
And when we do fall, we can rely on each other, right?
We can rely on each other for support.
This is where community comes in.
This is where community is so vital.
Yeah, we need people.
Yeah, we need each other.
To encourage us.
To encourage us.
To challenge us.
To challenge us.
And to remind us of God's...
Yes, to speak truth into our lives.
Yeah. Love and grace.
Love and grace.
Hold each other accountable.
Exactly.
Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Right.
Yeah. We can help each other stay on track.
Yeah. And we can accomplish so much more.
Absolutely.
When we're working together.
We're better together.
Yeah. Than we can on our own.
We are. The body of Christ is meant to function as a body.
Yes.
Not just a bunch of individual parts.
And that brings us back to James's point.
It does.
About the unity of faith and works.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be.
They're two sides of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. You can't really have one without the other.
Okay.
And that reflects the very nature of God.
Okay, because God is one.
God is one.
Right. So our lives should be a reflection of that unity.
Of that unity. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some final thoughts?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that James is calling us to a vibrant, dynamic faith.
Okay.
That's not just about inward beliefs.
Yeah.
But about outward action.
Okay.
About making a real difference in the world.
So it's not about just going through the motions of religion.
It's about letting our faith
transform
every aspect of our lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how can we do that?
Well, I think it starts with being honest with ourselves.
Okay.
About the state of our own faith.
Uh-huh.
You know, are we really living in a way that aligns with our beliefs?
Okay.
Are we actively seeking opportunities to put our faith into practice?
So it's about moving beyond passive belief.
Moving beyond passive belief.
And into active engagement.
Active engagement.
Okay.
With our faith.
Yeah. Making it real.
Making it real.
In our everyday lives.
In our everyday lives.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that might look different for each of us.
Okay.
Depending on our personalities.
Yeah. Our gifts.
Our gifts.
Our circumstances.
Circumstances, exactly.
But the key is to be intentional.
Be intentional.
About it.
About it, yeah.
Okay.
Don't just let your faith be something that you think about once a week.
Or just talk about.
Or just talk about, yeah.
Yeah. You got to live it out.
You got to live it out.
Oh,
and you know,
okay.
It's not always easy.
No.
It's going to be challenging.
Yeah. There are going to be times when we fall short.
There are.
Yeah.
There are going to be times when we mess up.
But that's okay.
But that's okay.
Right?
That's where grace comes in.
Grace comes in.
And, you know, it's in those moments that we need to remember that God's love for us is not based on our performance.
Okay.
It's based on his grace.
Yeah.
So we can come to him with humility and ask for forgiveness.
And for help to get back up.
And for help to get back up, exactly. Okay. And, you know, as we do that, we'll find that he's always faithful to meet us where we are.
Okay.
And to help us grow.
Okay.
And to become more like him.
So it's a journey.
It is a journey.
It's transformation.
It's a lifelong process.
A lifelong process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
If you're not where you want to be, just keep taking steps in the right direction.
Okay.
And trust that God will be with you every step of the way.
Okay. So to sum it all up, what's the big idea?
The big idea is that faith and works are two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
You can't really have one without the other.
And this reflects God's own unified nature.
Exactly. Okay. And it's a call to live out our faith in tangible ways to make a real difference in the world.
Not just talk about it, but to be about it.
Be about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think James would say that the world needs more people who are willing to do that.
People who are willing to put their faith into action.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's a challenge that we can all take to heart.
Yes. And if our listeners are looking for ways to put their faith into action.
Yes.
What are some practical things that they can do?
Well, there's so many things.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most important things is to start with the people around you.
Okay.
You know, your family, your friends, your neighbors.
Okay.
Look for ways to serve them.
Okay.
To encourage them.
Uh-huh.
To show them God's love.
Okay.
In practical ways.
Okay.
And then as you grow in your faith,
mm-hmm.
you can start to look for opportunities to serve in your community and beyond.
So it's about starting small.
Yeah, start small.
And then expanding.
And then as God leads, he'll open up
doors,
opportunities to serve in bigger ways.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great conversation.
It has.
Yeah. Really insightful.
I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
On this deep dive.
My pleasure.
And we hope that you'll join us again
for
another one soon.
I look forward to it.
And in the meantime, keep seeking.
Yes.
Keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
And keep living out your faith in the world.
Exactly. Make it real.
Make it real. Yeah. That's good stuff.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.
Bye. So it sounds like James is giving us a blueprint for a vibrant, dynamic faith. One that's not just about inward beliefs, but about outward actions.
Yeah.
About making a real difference in the world.
That's exactly it. And it's not just about grand gestures or heroic acts. It's about the everyday choices we make, the way we treat others, the way we use our time and resources. It's about letting our faith permeate every aspect of our lives.
So it's about finding those little everyday opportunities to put our faith into action. Maybe it's reaching out to someone who's lonely, volunteering in our community, or even just being more patient and kind in our daily interactions.
Those are great examples. It's about being intentional. About asking ourselves, how can I reflect God's love in this situation?
It's about making our faith a verb, not just a noun.
I love that, faith in action. And, you know, this whole conversation has really challenged me to think about the profit of my own faith. What tangible difference is it making in my life and in the lives of others? It's a question I think we should all be asking ourselves regularly. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and forget to connect our actions back to our beliefs. But when we do, it can be incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And it's not about perfection. It's about progress. We're all on a journey, and we're going to stumble along the way.
Yeah.
But that's where grace comes. And God's love and forgiveness give us the freedom to keep trying, to keep growing.
It's like that saying, fall 7 times, stand up 8.
Yes. And when we do fall, we can rely on each other for support.
Yeah.
That's why community is so important. We need people who can encourage us, challenge us, and remind us of God's love and grace.
It's about being part of something bigger than ourselves. And knowing that we're not alone in this journey.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive into James, I hope our listeners are left feeling inspired and empowered to live out their faith in bold and authentic ways.
And remember, this isn't just about ticking boxes or following rules. It's about experiencing the fullness of life that comes from living in alignment with our deepest beliefs.
It's about discovering the joy and the peace that come from knowing our faith is making a real difference in the world.
And if you're feeling challenged by James's message, that's a good thing. It means you're taking your faith seriously. And if you have questions or thoughts you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us on social media or leave a comment on the show notes.
We're all in this together, and we can learn so much from one another.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep living out your faith in the world.
Absolutely.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.